Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, October the 29th. It got a little warmer this afternoon. It had been pretty cool here for the last couple of days. You know, we woke up a couple of mornings with temperatures in the low 40s, even one morning in the high 30s. But it got warmer this afternoon. I think it's going to, you know, come back to a little bit more normal here in the next 48 hours, you know. And by that, I mean temperatures in the 50s and 60s, maybe middle 60s in the afternoon. So it just felt a little bit more like North Texas today than it did the last couple of days when I felt like I was back in Wisconsin there for for a second. Well, we got some great stories today to talk about. The GDP, the American economy, quite a comeback. And I think that's a story that obviously there's a political benefit here to President Trump, obviously. But really the benefit is to the whole country. I mean, when you have a strong economy, everybody benefits. And I've always felt that way. You know, I've always felt that, of course, there's the benefit of the political benefit to the incumbent. But this is really good news for everybody. And overall, the GDP had I think if I'm explaining it correctly, a 33% increase in the third quarter, which makes it, if not the biggest quarter in history, certainly one of the very, very biggest. And I thought that the reason for this was interesting. Basically, you started to have economic activity. People started going out to eat. They started going to restaurants, salons, bars, stores, and people began consuming again, which is so much of what the American economy is. What drives the American economy, of course, is consuming. And when people are consuming, people are working. People are working in stores. People are making money and so on and so on. People are paying taxes, which is critical for many of these, for many of the states. Now, here's the part that really, I guess, in a way bothers me, but on the other hand, I'm not surprised. Can you imagine what this number today would have looked like if, let's say, the city of New York had not closed the way it did? I mean, they're destroying the city of New York with their politically driven lockdown. California, the same way, or the same thing. Illinois, the same thing. Many of these states, I think, locked down for purely political reasons, or at least extended the lockdowns for purely political reasons. This is not to say that you don't take care of yourself, you don't protect yourself. It is a very contagious virus, and you got to take care of yourself. But as we've learned over the last few months, if you shut down, if you lock down, that doesn't end the virus. All that does, it ends your paycheck. You're not getting a paycheck. And I think it's becoming more and more obvious that many of these lockdowns were politically driven, not necessarily scientifically driven. And hopefully next week, hopefully, and I think he will be reelected. I think once President Trump is reelected and we can get back to sanity and get away from this election nightmare that we've gone through, maybe some of these states can start opening at least slowly and sort of get people back to work. I was reading something about the state of Illinois that they're shutting down bars and restaurants. Well, that's crazy. Crazy because you're impacting the lives of so many people, not just the restaurant owners, obviously. They're impacted. But think of the millions of people who work in these restaurants. Think of the number of jobs that these restaurants provide. I mean, the number of jobs, the bars, the discotheques, all of that provides millions of jobs. And many of those jobs are in the minority community, which is really sad. You know, people say that this virus has impacted the minority community more. Yes, it probably has. I mean, I don't have all the numbers, but I believe it. And that's because if you look around, who generally works in restaurants? Who generally works in hotels? Well, in many cases, they are immigrants who work in these jobs. And they've been devastated, just absolutely devastated. So it was a great day for the American economy. I'll just put it that way. Great day, good numbers for the American economy. And I just hope that, you know, once we get this election out of the way, it's a few more days, that everybody can sort of get out of the political mode and start once again thinking in terms of economic activity. Because I will tell you this. Many of the states, like Illinois, New York, California, just to name three, those three states have huge deficits. And states cannot print money. I mean, states have only one way of dealing with with deficits. All they can do is increase taxes or borrow money or cut spending. Well, not borrow money, cut spending or increase taxes. That's all they can do. And right now, what taxes are you going to increase in New York? I mean, people are leaving New York by the droves, the same in Illinois and California. So they're going to have to cut back. And those cutbacks are going to be pretty severe, given the budget deficit numbers that I've seen. So the only way you're going to save these cities, the only way you're going to put New York or make New York look like New York again is to let people open up and let the shows go on. You know, you can take precautions. You can sit people, you know, at a social distance. You can tell them to wear a mask. You know, they can, you know, you can do all kinds of things like we do at our church. I mean, at our church, we have a mass. We have a limit of how many people can go to the mass. People sit in strategic locations so that you're not, you know, right behind anybody. There's a distance requirement, but, you know, we get to go to mass. And there's no reason why they couldn't do that Broadway so they can get to, people can go to shows and at least keep the economy going. So the good news is that these are great GDP numbers. They're absolutely wonderful numbers for the American people. And that's what it really is, the American people that I'm happy about. The politics is important, but it's American people I'm happy for. And now we just got to get this economy reopened. And yes, we got to deal with the virus, and we will. We will deal with the virus, but we got to get people back to work. That's all I can say. We have got to get people back to work. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with a few more stories after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Just a few more stories today. It was actually a pretty busy day. You may have heard about the CEO of Twitter and the CEO of Facebook, and I think Google too, were at the Senate yesterday, and they didn't look too bright. Let me just put it that way. Well, the fellow who is the CEO of Twitter, he looks like Robinson Crusoe. I've never seen anybody look that bad before. I mean, normally when you go before Congress, you're at least, you know, you present yourself professionally. I mean, he looked like he just got out of bed. I mean, this guy looked awful. But anyway, that's another story. But I think what's obvious to me and to many people is that Facebook and Twitter are in the tank for the Democrat Party. And that's okay if they were, that's okay, I guess. I mean, I don't care who they vote for. But they cannot continue in the game that they've been playing without restrictions. I mean, if they're going to be saying, well, we're not going to print this or we're not going to post this, but we're going to post this, then all of a sudden they're making editorial decisions. And, well, they cannot have the protection that they have right now. Right now they're protected under something called Section 230. I don't know all the exact language of this, but it basically says because of their situation, they cannot be sued. In other words, if I put something in Facebook and somebody says that's a lie, they cannot sue Facebook because Facebook posted it. Okay, they can sue me, but they cannot sue Facebook. But on the other hand, if a newspaper wrote something by one of their reporters, let's say, and it turned out to be false, the newspaper can be sued. I mean, that's basically the difference. But if Facebook and Twitter are going to be engaging in this kind of censorship, well, yeah, then we need to change the rules and just turn them into a newspaper or like any other organization where they at least have some liability for things that they do. And that's, I think that's going to happen, particularly if President Trump is reelected. I think he's going to go after these companies. And frankly, it's about time. It's about time. If you're on Twitter and you're on Facebook, there's no question that there is a liberal bias there. I mean, there's no question about it. What they censor and what they let you post. No question about it. I mean, there's no question about it. And I think that definitely has to change. A few other stories. Well, obviously, the situation in Pennsylvania, these riots. I just read today that another police association in Pennsylvania is supporting President Trump. Look, I think the combination of riots, these riots here the last couple of days, and fracking, the statements that former Vice President Biden made about fracking, I think that's going to hurt him a great deal in Pennsylvania. And that's why I think it's starting to look like President Trump could pull it out by winning Pennsylvania. That would be huge for him, and it could very well be the state that puts him over the top. I'll have a little prediction about the election on Monday, but I do believe very seriously that he's going to win Pennsylvania. Over in Europe, if you've been following the news from Europe, COVID is back. They've had quite a second wave of COVID, and they're starting to lock down some European cities, but the people are not very happy about this. There was a very interesting article that came out recently called Virus Fatigue, where many people in Europe are saying enough is enough. You know, we can't do this anymore. We cannot work. We cannot feed ourselves. So I think these governments in Europe are going to have a very tough time enforcing this kind of lockdown. I mean, I think it reaches a point where people are saying, hey, you know, let me go out. I'll take care of myself. I'll protect myself. I'll wear gloves. I'll wash my hands. I'll cover my face. But I got to get back to work. I can't just live like this because, you know, there's all kinds of consequences if you stay home. There's all kinds of abuse problems. You know, children are not learning at home as well as they learn in schools. I mean, there's all kinds of consequences if you lock people up. I mean, it's not good. It's not like you're choosing between good and bad. It's really, you know, it's two evils, and you have to figure out, you know, which one is less bad. And I think that letting people go out to work, now you can limit some activities, yes, but people have got to go back to work. They have to have a life, and they've got to be able to get back to normal as soon as possible. Again, normal, when I say normal, I don't mean where we were in January and February. That's going to be a while for that. But we need to get back to a situation where there's got to be a middle point between locking down, closing cities, and opening up everything. There's got to be a middle point, and that's where I think we need to be working for that middle point. And we got to let people know the risk and let people make their own choices too. That's another thing that I believe we need to be doing. But just a couple of other quick stories here. The Girl Scouts, this is an outrageous situation. The Girl Scouts decided to salute Justice Amy Barrett, you know, as the fifth woman to be in the Supreme Court. So they tweeted something, you know, saluting the judge. Some people went crazy over this. They started going after the Girl Scouts, so the Girl Scouts took it down. This is the wrong thing to do. You keep it up there. You're just saluting a woman who was just put in the Supreme Court. You're not making any political statement. You're just saluting a woman who's a great role model, by the way, for Girl Scouts. But they took it down because, again, they're afraid of the left-wing mob. That's bad for the country. It's bad for the Girl Scouts as well. The other story that I just saw, this afternoon that the DOJ had been investigating Hunter Biden for some time for money laundering. That's fascinating to hear that. That's fascinating to hear that because, you know, what happens if Joe Biden wins and all of a sudden his son is under investigation and he's not going to be able to stop it once the investigation starts. So it's a really fascinating thing. Well, on this day in 1929, the Great Depression kind of began. This was what they called Blue Tuesday when the stock market crashed, and that, of course, began the Great Depression of the 1930s. So there's your memory. 1929, they called it Blue Tuesday. It became the Great Depression. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.